You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I'm your host for this episode, Chris Chambers, and I am joined, have the privilege and honor to have a conversation with Ms. Melanie Grassi. How are you doing, Melanie?
Good, thank you, Chris. How are you?
Doing real well. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today and joining me for this particular episode. And of course, you're the owner operator of American Merchant Services. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
And from what I understand, you've been in that particular business for about 19 years, and that was preceded with years in the banking industry as well, correct?
Yes, I have. I have been with NCNB starting out with all the way through the Bank of America. So we've gone through three mergers.
Okay. And now what I want to do, you know, as we typically do here, I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of just your story, your history, you know, how we got to where we are today, how you got to where we are today. And then also then want to talk about your business, how you got involved in your business, who you can help, who you do help on a regular ongoing basis. We do want to talk about your connection with BNI, how you got involved with BNI, how you got involved really with network marketing in general. And then we'll talk specifically about who are some good referrals for you, who are good clients that you could help and help right away. And then we'll end with a section, kind of a rapid fire. I'll just ask you a few questions, that kind of a fun little section there. So that's basically where we're heading. So as always, I'm going to start out with this question, and that is, who is Melanie Grassi?
Melanie Grassi was born and raised in Lutz, Florida. I graduated from Chamberlain High School in Tampa. I went off to University of Florida after high school. I had a small accident, which caused me to have to come back to Florida and live home. Then I finished off at Hillsborough Community College. At that point, I went into the banking industry with NCNB, and then we merged and went to Nations Bank. And Chris, I landed in Greensboro, North Carolina. I was offered a fantastic position. So myself and my two kids, my son was 5 and my daughter was 3, we moved to Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah, let me ask you a question here. You know, one of the things you are graduated Chamberlain Chiefs, right? At a high school, go up to the University of Florida and as a Gator. And then early on, you were involved in a motor vehicle accident that kind of changed your course where you're headed. What kind of impact, other than obviously needing, having to go home and leave University of Florida and start ATC, what other impacts did that motor vehicle have on just your life in general, kind of looking back?
Looking back, I'm proud to be alive. After being a code blue being called on me twice, my parents thought that they were going to lose me. If I were going to live, I was going to be a growing vegetable. So that caused me the impact. Absolutely. I appreciated life at a very young age.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so you, after recovering from that, then you started going to ATC. You did get your AA there. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, very good. And then, like you mentioned, NCNB you'd become Nations Bank, and I guess eventually merge with Bank of America. So you worked there for, how many years did you work at NCNB?
15 years.
And during that period of time, it was here, right? In this area, was it in Lutz as well?
Downtown Tampa.
Okay, downtown Tampa.
Downtown Tampa.
And then you ended up, they offered you a position, one of a few, I guess. And that was during the transition to Nations Bank, in which the move to Greensboro took place?
Yes. They offered myself, the VP, and the president, the CEO.
That was a pretty good, really honor, a promotion to get that opportunity, right?
Absolutely. A lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and like you mentioned, your kids were young at the time. Obviously, a big change there. Had your son started at kindergarten yet, or did he?
No, he started in Greensboro.
Okay. So both your children started and finished school up in North Carolina before you ended up moving back here, right?
Yes,
How different is life in seeing that you grew up here in Lutz in Florida, Central Florida, and then you've been back here for quite a few years? How different is life in North Carolina, Greensboro in particular, than it is here in Spring Hill, Brooksville?
Well, when I was growing up, I was very happy where I lived and how I was brought up in my neighborhood and the people, kids that I went to school with. Today, when my kids were growing up, it's a lot different than Florida. We'd come home on vacation, we'd see the different types of kids, how they're being raised and so forth. And we live in a very biblical area. North Carolina is very biblical. So that's what we are probably the biggest impact is becoming part of religion.
Okay. So you're like the Bible Belt kind of referring to there, right?
Yes. Yes.
Now, so you actually had you know, quite a bit of difficulties. You know, you mentioned your father had passed away early in your life. You then were involved in a very serious motor vehicle accident. And actually, when your mother got sick, that's when you moved back to Florida. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have six siblings, and it all took all six of us to give her the best care that's out there.
Yeah. Now, do the other siblings, do they live here in this area as well?
Yes, they do. And I have one sister that's out in Texas.
Okay. Very good. And so you moved back here. Do you remember about what year that was when you moved back here, right around 2000 or so?
No, I came back here in 2004.
2004. Okay. All right. And so you're back here. Your children had both graduated from high school up in North Carolina. You moved back here. I believe you said your son went to college up in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And this is where kind of your story takes a little bit of a turn. You had stopped working at the bank, I believe, when they merged with Bank of America, and you met a man at a salon that you had been going to. Right. What happened there?
The gentleman came in and said, "What are you? You're always in here. What do you do for a living?" And I said, "Well, right now, in between jobs, I kind of knew what I wanted to do. I had a lot of passion for the payment industry, but he turned me on to a local company here, and I spoke to my headhunter, and I wanted to check him out. And so he was right here in Huntington Beach, so it kind of worked out very nice for me, Chris." I became part of the payment processing business here, right here in my hometown, Hernando Beach. Our office was above the marina. So I worked for them for about 2 months, and I wanted to get out on the road and become independent and build my own castle. So now, I asked if I could go on the road, and then I created my own business.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about that and your business and everything here in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I did want to kind of go back. Now, you grew up in Florida, so certainly grew up with water all around, and that's actually one of your hobbies, right? You like to boat. You're into boating, right?
I love boating. I love fishing. I just love the water. I was born and raised on the water, and I love the water.
I got a friend of mine who I actually used to work with down in Port Richey, and he lives on the water as you do, and he takes it out almost every day. If he can take it out every day, he goes out every day. He loves to fish. It sounds like you're similar there. Now, he also likes to do some snorkeling and some scuba diving and things, but you don't like to do life under the water too much, right?
No, I don't. I like to stay above the water as much as I can.
Yeah. I concur. That's where I live as well. That's where I spend my time. I'm nervous to get into the water, maybe more nervous than I should be. But like Dan Brown and Keith Boyle, there's some others, Jessica, who they love the scuba dive.
Yes, they do.
The things that live under the sea scare me, and so I stay above the water as well. But anyhow, so boating. In fact, the last time you went fishing was just yesterday, right?
Just yesterday with my grandson, yes. I like to go see sunsets a couple, 2-3 nights a week when I can, weather permits. Get a good book.
Yeah, you have five grandchildren, right?
Yes, I do.
And as ages 3 up to 20, right?
Yes, I do.
Very good, very good. Do they all live in this area?
They do. They all live here in the Trinity area, in the Avalon area.
Yep,
they do. And I love to spend as much time as I can with all of them.
Yeah. And obviously a three-year-old hasn't started school yet, but then yeah, there's a third grader, I believe a fourth grader, a ninth grader just starting high school, and then one that has graduated, right?
Yes, sir.
Very good, very good. And I'm sure they come over and want to go boating and fishing with you as often as they can, I would imagine. Huh?
Oh, yeah, they love it. They're all captains. They're all captains except a three-year-old.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she's working towards that. But it's a great family tool to have. Because yeah. They all like it and we can all be together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so now I wanted to go back. You mentioned the emergency services. You mentioned American Emergency Services is your business. You initially were hired in under Total Emergent Services. And as you mentioned, you worked there for a couple of months. I guess it was kind of the structure is one in which it's almost kind of like a franchise, and you were working for another franchisee, and you after just a couple months, again with your banking experience, you looked and said, "I can do this," and then you started your own business just a couple months in, right?
Yes, I did, and I tell you, I dove right into it. I was very excited, and I'm here today, and I couldn't be happier.
Just to reiterate, 19 years you've been doing it.
Yeah.
Again, that's significant. You know, I represent a lot of individuals, so I'm looking at earnings records all the time. And very seldom do I see individuals who are at a particular job, even for 10 plus years at a time. And here you've actually held two separate positions for more than 15. One working for a bank, and now your own business. How different is it owning your own business versus working for somebody else?
Working for someone else, it's very structured. I work hard at that, of keeping, my structure here. I get to save my merchants a lot more money than I could being employed with someone else, perhaps my competitor or whomever it may be. But working for myself, I can do pretty much what I want to do. And that allows me extra time to be part of my county. I'm an ambassador with our local chamber here in Hernando County. And I'm very involved helping others in our county. So working for myself, I work hard. It also allows me to help others.
Yeah, and there was something I wanted you to talk about, if you would. You've actually been helping veterans for many years through the VFW, local VFW, is that right?
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Sure. We used to provide Wednesday night dinners for the veterans. Also, we've been part of, for about 10 years, been part of a backpack program for our homeless veterans, which included backpacks with a list of things that they may need or perhaps may want. And then we always added extra things in for the cold, like extra little blankets, a lot of socks, of course, the pair of shoes, whatever size they needed. And it was just a tremendous, just so happy to be able to do that for these homeless veterans. And people are doing it more and more throughout our country now. We give to the homeless, but we don't think about our homeless veterans. So yes, we did just strictly help that backpack program for our homeless veterans.
And just before we move forward with your story and American Emergency Services in particular, if somebody was listening and said, I would like to assist with that, the backpack program, I'd like to assist with the VFW, what would be the best way for somebody to do that? Would they go online? Would they call?
Contact me on 352-263-7749. And I would love to meet up with them and let them know how they can get involved. And it's right here in our own county, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. No, very cool, very cool. Okay, and then so with American Merchant Services, again, I think most folks kind of, when they hear Merchant Services, they have some kind of an idea as to what that means, what that entails, what you do. If you would, just kind of describe what it is that you do, how it is that you help business owners.
Okay, for business owners, if they're accepting credit cards, I can go in and set them up with new equipment, which I offer free equipment, unless we get into the POS systems. I love to analyze their statements, which is a cost comparison, what they're currently doing business with or what their rate is. The other side of the report is the amount of savings that I can save you on that. So if you're saving, if you're hearing, I believe I'm paying too much, or I don't even know what I'm paying. That's a.
I mean, what percentage would you say of business owners do not accept credit cards?
I know for a fact in the United States, I can give you a number of 12%.
That seems super high.
It's super high. We have those that choose not to accept credit cards. It sends a huge red flag to the IRS, but I will tell you that they are losing business. They think that they have been burned so many times in the industry, and they just, all the rates are so high. With me, you're not working with a middleman. So we do a lot of processing for our local banks. So that's how I can absolutely save them money, and they can feel free accepting credit cards and not losing that percentage of business.
So because there's not a middleman, there's not somebody else who is taking a cut, you're able to essentially pass on that savings directly to the business owner.
Yes, Chris, I am.
Okay, gotcha. And so you've mentioned a couple of reasons why, you know, individuals should accept credit cards if they don't. One, you mentioned, obviously, red flag to the IRS. That's a big one. Number two, don't lose any more business. Again, like you said, you know, how many times somebody walk in, they see a sign that says, you know, we don't accept credit cards, and they turn around and leave. If they accepted that, they'd be able to keep more business. And additionally, you mentioned, why would it be beneficial for them to do so? Well, again, you're going to be able to provide them very affordable and the lowest rates in the area. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very good. And then you kind of mentioned a little bit, you alluded to some things that we could listen for. So if we have, you know, those in our chapter, Winning Edge, looking for ways to refer you business, what are some other things that we can listen for to know, hey, you know what, I think Melanie can help you.
My equipment is very slow. My equipment is maybe old, not up to date. I'm holding for 45 minutes to an hour just to ask a question. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're in a business and the machine is not working and they can't get a hold of someone, please contact me. I'd like to go and see these guys and help them get back up and going, and then maybe perhaps earn their business. That just shows my, gets me out there and shows my dedication to that individual. And I'm willing to help you even if you don't belong to me.
Yeah. Are you, is there a certain area, location in which you can only help in a certain location? Or are you open to really help people anywhere?
Well, of course, if I'm going to drive there, I'm going to be local. But I service everywhere, up the East Coast, the West Coast. My husband being from New York, I have several accounts in Long Island, a few in Manhattan. South Carolina, of course, North Carolina, where I worked for 15 years. So my book of business is quite large, and now I'm just opening Canada.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, just now opening Canada.
So if, you know, if somebody in the group is traveling, you know, throughout the country, you know, I know some, we do have some folks that do that in our chapter, and they, you know, they happen to run into a restaurant, and they don't accept credit cards. And they wanted to have a conversation with that particular business owner, that's somebody that you could potentially help.
Yes, Chris, thank you. It sure is.
Okay, very good, very good. I will keep that in mind, because I know I, you know, up in North Georgia, I go there a couple times a year, and certainly run into some local business owners and things like that. Now, is there any issue with Are there higher rates for like debit cards versus credit cards? I feel like at some point in the past there used to be a distinction. Is there still a distinction with those or not?
Yes, there are. It's debit card is kind of just the most basic fee, and then you get reward cards. Years ago, we were able to tell if it was a rewards card because it would say rewards on the front of the card, but today we can't tell which type of card it is until we get our statement. And they're upgraded just depending on if it's a gold MasterCard. It becomes very confusing. That's why I encourage that statement analysis. So I can sit down with a potential merchant and show them exactly how to read their statement.
Yeah, no, and you know, I just kind of moving forward, I represent veterans, right? And I've been doing that since 2011, so about 9 years. You've been doing what you do for 10 years beyond that, 19 years. So what is it that keeps you going? What is it that keeps you passionate about your business?
I love people, and I love helping people. Chris, 19 years ago, I still have a book of business. Unless they went out of business, I still have them as my customer, whether it be a generation after generation, and I love that. I just love creating that type of business and being able to hold on to them to work with the next generation. I've watched 2-3 different generations grow through several different restaurants, several different large businesses. So that's fun. That's fun to know that they still want to keep me on board.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And now, obviously, this is the Winning Edge podcast, and we've named it that because that's the name of our chapter, the Winning Edge chapter of BNI here in Spring Hill, Florida. And so how long have you been involved with our chapter? When did you join?
Last December of 2019.
So for anybody that may be listening, down the road, months or years down the road, may or may not know the significance of that date. But December of 2019 was right in the midst of when this coronavirus situation really started. We started hearing about it, early on, and then obviously early 2020 kind of take a big hit. We've moved, in fact, the BNI structure. In December, we were meeting in person, and since then, we've moved online, and we're doing Zoom meetings at this point. Now, how long we'll be doing that, we don't know, but that means that at this point, we're recording this in June of 2020. So you had about 3 months in doing the in-person meetings, and now you've been doing these Zoom meetings for about 3 months as well. How difficult has that transition been for you?
Well, Chris, being a new BNI member, when I first came in, I was very, very, had a very warm welcome, and I enjoyed seeing everyone's face on Tuesday mornings and all the hugs and just being face-to-face with people. And then I kind of lost that kind of feeling, not being able to see my family and business together, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it's been a big change. Getting out there to do one-to-ones, we get to see each other, but for a while we were home for 45 days? But being on Zoom, it is what it is. We have to all stay safe, but I communicate much better being face-to-face.
Sure, sure. And then, I think there's some difficulties in that the visibility leading to credibility, leading to profitability. And obviously, I think probably, just being a newer member, that is a little bit more difficult to get through that process as quickly as possible, under the current situation. But like you said, that's the situation that we have. I mean, I think this morning, last week's Thank You for Closed Business, over 300,000 for the chapter. So certainly, the chapter's still moving. Everybody's still doing what they need to do, still meeting one-to-one, still doing the CEUs, passing referrals, which obviously is leading to significant thank you for closed business. And hopefully that will continue. I know early on, for me, for example, my first year in BNI, not a whole lot of thank you for closed business. It took me a little while for a number of reasons. You're about 6 months in now. And so the thank you for closed business hasn't gotten to where, obviously, we're hopeful that it will get for you here in the short near future. However, there are some other things, some unexpected benefits that you have received from BNI. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My, for me to, the giver's gain is a big part, guys, and we all know that. And for me being a new member, it will come. It will come. I've enjoyed passing business, but I have to tell you, my podcast, the podcast with the owner and the CEO of BNI and all of the leadership team, I believe that I have already received my money back just being part of those and just being part of the BNI family. I've met a lot of nice people, and I love working with the group that I'm part of. I waited for a seat for a while, and I'm just very happy to be where I'm at.
Yeah, and you know, something that stands out, because knowing your story a little bit, because you've done some network marketing, which is what, you know, BNI really is. You've done that for you know, several years, right? Five, six years?
Yeah. I've been part of, I have a president's seat with Keep It Local, but I'm now with the Elite. So I feel like I'm on the Elite team. So it has brought me great training. And now I'm able to pass on some great referrals to BNI. I think I've been well trained, but for start off, if you will. But now I'm learning so much more about myself, more importantly, Chris, because we learn something about each other every day. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yes.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that, you know, you had this this kind of foundation for what network marketing is. You were getting out there. Again, you mentioned the ambassador with the Chamber of Commerce. So you were doing a lot of the things that you would want to be doing already. And yet, here in the last 6 months, you've even learned even more, you know, how to help yourself, how to help others, like you were mentioning with the Giver's Gain mindset in BNI. So that's really good to hear. Now, you gave us a phone number to contact you. I think you said 352-263-7749. That's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yes.
Okay. And then what is your website?
AMS, American Merchant Services, naturecoast.com.
Okay. Very good. Very good. And all right. And so what I'd like to do here is go through a few rapid fire questions with you before we finish this particular episode. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. No, thank you. All right. So what is the best book that could be business, networking, or otherwise that you have ever read?
Oh, Chris, if you haven't read Never Eat Alone, I would suggest you order it through your Kindle and start reading it this afternoon. That's for anyone. Never Eat Alone. Fantastic book.
And just briefly, I think I get the gist of probably what it's talking about, but briefly, what is it, what's significant about it? Why was it so good?
Just talking about never do things on your own. It takes a village. That's what the BNI group is for. It takes a village for us all to grow together. Yeah. And giving examples. Some people get set in their ways, Chris. Some people, you know, don't want to share things. But the structure that you are offering here at BNI is all about this book, to become a good listener, to become a better person, keeping the positive attitude all the time, even if it's a negative day, to keep that positive attitude.
Very good.
Being trustworthy.
Yes. Well, and that leads to the next question, actually. What is, in your opinion, again, you've been doing the networking for quite a while, what is the most important networking trait that someone needs to have?
Be a great listener, folks. Being a great listener is probably one of my best traits.
Yeah, and that goes to not simply you know, hearing what somebody is saying. You know, yeah, I hear somebody talking, but truly listening. All right, what is it they're saying? What is it that they need? How can I find a way to help to fill that need that they have now presented to me? Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, I got three more questions for you. If you could go back in time, right, and talk to younger Melanie Grossi, right? What is one networking secret that you wish you had known sooner?
Being accountable.
Okay.
Being accountable, Chris, that's very, very important to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being accountable. You know, before when we meet people, I've learned do it now, not later. And being accountable for what I say that I'm going to do, or someone else, I like to hold them accountable. Because I've been held accountable, and that's how I was taught.
Yeah. And I think it's true. What gets measured, and again, holding each other accountable is part of measuring what is being done. What gets measured gets done, right? So absolutely. Now, next, what is one business tip you wish you had known a little bit sooner?
What is one business tip you wish you had what I know sooner? BNI, being part of BNI.
Okay.
I wish I would have been on board with BNI probably 25 years ago. I believe I would be in a different position with my business, my life, perhaps. But I would have to say, honestly, B&I.
And I strongly agree with that. I kind of fell into B&I. I was kind of pushed there by a former employer and didn't know anything about it. And got in very hesitantly, got involved with B&I, and here we are 3 years later, and couldn't be happier with certainly what B&I has done for me and has allowed me to grow in a lot of different ways. So I agree with that 100%. And finally, Melanie, what is the most profound piece of advice that you wish you had known sooner, just about life in general?
Take one day at a time. One day at a time. I wanted to rush my life. I wanted to move on with my career. I wanted to do a whole lot. I missed out on a lot. So if you just wake up and just take one day at a time, you'll be very successful. Yeah. Don't think like me and think out of the box 6 months down the road.
Yeah, one day at a time. That's good advice for sure. Well, Melanie Grassi, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Winning Edge Podcast.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge Podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!